Songwriter Joe Pernice used to be in a little-known but fashionable modern rock band called the Scuds. Night after night, they'd pummel club audiences with amplified bar chords. Then, after the club would close for the night, they'd retire to their guitar player's home, crowd around the kitchen table, and strum delicate country songs well into the morning. Pernice quickly realized that this was the music he really wanted to share with audiences, so they renamed themselves the Scud Mountain Boys, dragged that kitchen table up on stage with them, and introduced their fans to a whole new sound.
I'm gonna burn the silo when you go. I'm gonna burn the silo when you go. Gonna burn the silo, you see the flames and maybe know. I'm gonna burn the silo when you go.
The Scud Mountain Boys enjoyed critical acclaim during their days with the trendy recording label Sub Pop in the mid-90s. Since then, Joe Pernice recorded under a number of assumed names and borrowed styles. His most recent release is called Yours, Mine, and Ours as a member of the Pernice Brothers, and he joins us from the studios of WBUR in Boston. Joe, it's a real pleasure to talk to you.
Oh, thanks a lot for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
First of all, I want to go, let's go back to the early years. You know, you were doing this kind of hard stuff in a bar. What made you think that the kind of Neil Young and Graham Parsons approach to music was going to be acceptable to your fans? Because you were developing quite a following in Massachusetts in the early 90s.
I think it was a bit of a mistake at the time. Myself and two other members, or one other member of the band, we were graduate students at UMass in Amherst, and we were just doing it for fun. We really weren't thinking about how our fans would accept it or if they would accept it. So, you know, we just did what came naturally to us, really.
And they accepted you?
They did.
What happened to the kitchen table?
Well, that band broke up, and I didn't own the table, so I imagine the guitar player is probably eating breakfast or something on it right now.
Someone else got custody in the divorce, is that it?
Yes, we used to have a lamp, and I kept the lamp, and he kept the table.
There you go. I'm going to fast forward a little bit through the 90s. You broke up, and then you started doing the Pernice Brothers material, which is, it's interesting to listen to your progression, because that stuff is rather glossy, kind of pop, and some of the songs have these really luscious string sections. Now, string sections have ruined more than one artist, I think. I mean, they can be, you know, yes, used for good or for evil. Were you apprehensive at all about writing for strings?
I really wasn't, because I write almost every song on an acoustic guitar, and what I want to make sure that the songs, you know, stood alone, and the strings should always be something that support the song. I think where people are not successful with using strings is that they rely on them too much to carry the song when there might not even really be a song there.
You don't feel so overcome by happiness, you're broke. Do you think you might scrape your life together just in time to find you got no peace of mind when everybody wants a piece of your pretty. Even if you have the sun in the cover of your eyes, I would never be so blind. And
your new one, Pernice Brothers CD, Yours, Mine, and Ours, no violins.
No, none on this record.
None. It's really just pure, jangly, pop music. Even the first song, right out of the gate, Weakest Shade of Blue, jumps into your head and just stays there.
Oh, well, thank you.
Won't you come away with me and begin something we can understand? I'm lonely as the others.
It's sounds so effortless. I mean, do you agonize over these songs, or do they come to you, you know, in the car?
Well, some of them really happen in minutes. Lyrics, changes, everything, just like that. So that was one song that actually kind of fell on me.
Really?
Yeah.
What was one that you had to agonize over a little?
There's a song on this new record called Baby in Two, which is probably one of my favorite songs that I've written that took me quite a while to write and to get right.
I wish I had knew sure simple way to reach you. I'd be a king if I could say to you, cut the baby in.
I mean, it's very Solomonic when, you know,
yes.
you remember the biblical song about the two mothers arguing over the kid. Well, cut the baby in two, and the mother, real mother says, no, no, you know, don't do that. What are you writing about here?
That song is about compromise to me, and I was clearly referring to the biblical story. I think my songs tend to be, I wouldn't say cryptic, but I like to give a couple images and maybe have a loose narrative and then get out, you know, in the 3-minute pop form.
Cryptic, you figure out what it's about and then
exactly.
Listen to the next one. But it's the idea of these downer lyrics, but kind of a peppy melody. I mean, is this something kind of, I mean, why do you do that?
Well, I think it really is natural to me. I think my lyrics do at times tend to be a little dark, and they're honest, I mean it. But lyrically, I mean musically, I do enjoy the kind of pop sound, and I think when those two things come together, this is what I get.
I see. Even some of your critics have said, cheer the hell up, would you please?
Well, it's strange because a lot of people, when I do interviews, I'm a pretty happy guy, and there'll be people who or fans of the records will say, oh my God, I thought you'd be in bed somewhere or whatever, bedridden.
I can say that I knew you well. You could shine like a diadem, shining on a better life, a better you, something you can turn into. Did it have to be as typical as a tragedy? Your smile.
This in an interesting place up in Vermont. I mean, I'm thinking I'm hearing, you know, lavish studios and hordes of producers and technicians, but that's not quite what happened, right?
No, not at all. We went to a house in out in a rural part of Vermont and just, you know, hid out really for about 3 weeks, and it gave us a lot of quiet, and we were able to work without interruptions, and it was almost like being away at camp.
Mm.
So, and plus a bear came up to my car, which was very funny.
Really?
I was driving in my car and I was turning around in a driveway, and there he was, a black bear on his hind legs. It was very it woke me up early in the morning, that's for sure.
And he asked you to autograph a copy of one of the Scud Mountain Boys CDs, right?
No, actually he said, you know, your music's so dark, why can't you pick it up a little bit?
I hope that this letter finds you crying. It would feel so good to see you cry.
You've got your own label now. You lead your own band. I mean,
you
don't have any restrictions on you, do you?
I don't. My partner at my label would say otherwise, but I like to think I don't. It's great to have my own record label after being part of another label that was part of a major for a while. It's great to have the control, and I don't think I could ever go back.
Sounds like you've got a new CD burning in you already.
I have a couple burning. Again, my partner will kill me if she thinks I'm about to go record a new record, but I'll cross that bridge. I'll burn that bridge when I come to it.
Joe Pernice. His new CD with the band, the Pernice Brothers, is called Yours, Mine, and Ours. It comes out this Tuesday on his Ashmont Records label. He joined us from member station WBUR in Boston. Joe, good luck.
Thank you very much.
The city lights up like a dirty dime. Someday we meet both broken. It would feel so good to see you.
Samples. To hear a few samples from Joe Pernice's latest CD, go to our website, npr.org. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Leanne Hansen.